We're joined this morning by a former mafia member who spent time behind bars, turned his life around, and has been an author, and is sort of a documentarian putting together features that are on the Discovery Channel. I'm talking about Lou Ferrante, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Lou. Thanks for spending some time with us today. I appreciate it.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So for people not familiar with you, Lou, give me just a little bit of a thumbnail about who you are and where your life is right now.
In a nutshell, I ran my own crew within the Gambino crime family, Hijackers. That was our main, I guess, racket. But I was charged with all kinds of racketeering crimes. I was charged with heading my own crew. I served 8.5 years in prison. I faced life, copped out to 13 years on a plea, and I was able to reverse one of my cases in prison after I fell in love with books and started to read. I studied history, philosophy, and obviously law, and was able to, after hiring and firing 7 of the best attorneys money could buy, I was broke, and I went down to the law library and started studying myself and reversed one of my cases. Got out early. I have written a couple of best-selling books. I write my books myself, unlike mobsters who get ghostwriters. From all the reading I did, it was easy to write, so I do write. My last book, Mob Rules, What the Mafia Can Teach the Legitimate Businessman, is in 15 languages. It's what I could take from the mob and apply it to real business, the good stuff, stripping away all the bad. And that's what the book's about. And it's had tremendous worldwide appeal. And my new show on the Discovery Channel is called Inside the Gangster's Code. And that airs on Thursday night. Tonight it's airing from 8 to 10. And the first episode from 8 to 9, I visit the mafia in Naples, Italy. And the second episode, I lock into a prison with 20,000 murderers in the Philippines. So it's wild. The ratings have been off the charts. We've got over 100 million viewers worldwide, and the U.S. just started airing the show, and the ratings have been through the roof. And you could catch it tonight, 8 to 10. That's 8 to 10 Eastern.
I found it interesting. You got 8 to 10, and then at 10 o'clock, they put on the Amish Mafia. Now, I don't know what you feel about that, you know.
I'd like to line them all up and give them a nice slap across their faces.
Lou, look.
No. All kidding aside, I mean, I used to go to I grew up in New York, and, you know, we didn't have money growing up, my family. We had nothing. So a big vacation for us was to get in the car and drive to Amish country, and my father gave us the tour. And, you know, these guys, I don't know if there was any mafia there. I mean, they're running around in horse and wagons. They're trying to live a godly life with Bibles. But you know what? The show is great. Maybe there is a mafia. Who knows? Right. Could be. But the show, I have tuned in. I watched the show. It's entertaining. It's like a soap opera. And you know what? Tune into that, too. It's right after my show.
You know,
might get hooked.
In some sense, in a way, there's a lot of family involved, and I don't want to put that in quotes, but it has to do with people sort of sustaining, helping themselves outside of any other kind of government or other part of society involvement. They kind of take care of their own, as it were, it seems.
Yeah, you know, and in that sense, it's true. The Amish do. And just as the mafia, the Italians did when they first came to this country, they felt like, you know, the cops weren't helping them or paying attention to them, and they needed to do the things on their own. I mean, nowadays, when I was in the mob, it was just because, you know, that was the thing to, you know, my neighborhood, you aspired to be a gangster. It wasn't because we didn't have opportunities. I mean, Italians have every opportunity in the world, obviously, just as pretty much every ethnicity in this country does nowadays. So, but when they first came here, that's how it was, and I guess the Amish feel the same way in certain places.
Lou, once upon a time, you were on the inside. Now you're on the outside. How is it you're still alive?
I did my time. I faced a life sentence in prison, and as I was facing that life sentence, because I was in a holdover prison for 36 months fighting my cases, I had 3 separate indictments. Everybody indicted me, the FBI, the Secret Service, the Nassau County Organized Crime Task Force, and they kept trying to put pressure on me to snitch on the Gottis, John Gotti and his family. And I refused, and I was facing a life sentence, me and my co-defendants, and I stepped to the guys when I decided to change my life, and I told the bosses that were in prison, I'm never going to snitch, I'll keep my mouth shut to the end. I signed on for this, nobody twisted my arm, but if I ever could get out of here, you know, I want to be going on my own. If I die in jail, so be it. I'll keep my mouth shut to the end. But if I could ever get out, I just want to be on my own and do my own thing. And I don't give nobody up. I wrote my books. I changed names to disguise identities. And the show that I'm doing right now isn't anything that attacks the mafia. It basically explores gang life and mob culture all over the world. So I go to different countries and I investigate what the gang members are up to, what makes them tick, what are their rules, their codes, how they make their money, and I lock in maximum security prisons with the gangsters. Nobody does that. This has never been done before, ever. In the history of journalism, nobody has ever locked into a maximum security prison with a murderer, and I do it all the time.
Now,
and people ask me, how do you do that? I say, I lived in the max for 8.5 years. It's like home for me, unfortunately. I know prison like I know my own home.
So there's a certain comfort level to that. I wonder, though, your cameraman gets locked in with you, too, right?
My cameraman has a pair of stones on him, you know, because he's a legitimate guy. He's never been where I've been, and he comes in. You know, once or twice he's got to take shots through the bars, and he's a little safer than me. But usually 98% of the time, his life is on the line, just as mine is. If something happens in that prison and danger breaks out, and you'll see. I mean, I get emails from all over the world. A really, really riveting episode aired last week in El Salvador. And you guys, your listeners will see it. They'll probably start rerunning at Discovery, so keep an eye out for it after you watch the shows tonight. But, I mean, if this prison went berserk for some reason, you're not getting out of there. I've been in prison, you know, during tough times. And if those prisons riot, it's curtains.
But you were in a prison in a different decade. Does it change? Does it seem different in other countries?
People are the same since the beginning of time. So pretty much, you know, prison is prison. Maximum security prison is the worst of the worst, locked in. You know, they put a wall up around 1,000 of the worst people, you know, on earth. And say, okay, here, this is a prison. And now, you know, and so, I mean, that's the same. And the subculture of prison is really interesting, and I delve into that in a lot of the shows where I get into sort of like how prisons are run, who's the shot caller, who's the guy calling, you know, the governor, the mayor of the prison. He's calling all the shots, and it's ruled by violence, and he's got lieutenants under him that do his bidding. And you know, sort of like that keeps the peace. Believe it or not, the prison is run the prisons in maximum security. The guards and the warden doesn't. They just basically, they're there to make sure no one goes over the wall and endangers society. That's what the warden and the guards do. You go over the wall, we're going to shoot you. If you riot, we're going to quell it. But basically, inside the prison, the daily business of prison life is always run by the inmates in a maximum security prison, always. And I get into that.
Lou, you talk about the prison in the Philippines. 20,000 criminals there, divided by gang affiliation. Is it like a little neighborhood inside a city, or how does that work?
I should hope that every listener on right now tunes into the Philippines tonight and sees this place. It is a small country, and it's run by 12 gangs, and they have sort of like a democratic hierarchy of guys who sit around a table once a week and make the rules. And if there's somebody who's got to get hurt, that goes to this meeting, and they call a vote on it. And if the guy's got to get killed, they go to this meeting and they call a vote on it. And I was the first outsider ever to be brought into this 12-man meeting of the gangs inside Bilibid Prison in the Philippines. And we got a bird's eye view of what's going on as it's happening. You hear them talking about the beefs in the prison, minute by minute. Unbelievable how this place, it's a small city. I mean, gosh, you know, this is like, I think I made the thing. It's like Castro's Cuba. You know, I mean, Castro took over the island of Cuba. These guys are running this little prison island of Bilibid. And you get, when I went in there to meet the gang boss, I get picked up with a bicycle and a sidecar. So I said, what the heck is this? The guy goes, oh, I'm here to pick you up for JB. I go, you got to be kidding me. He sent me a taxi? I'm inside the prison. They're driving me around in a sidecar.
What do you tip somebody like that?
What's that?
What do you tip somebody like that?
Yeah, exactly. I know, a soup or a stamp or a cigarette.
Wow. Is there any point during some of this where the hair on the back of your neck stands up even through all what you've been through and just seeing
well,
it?
Well, you know, I'm never nervous. I have a strong faith in God, and I fear God. So, I mean, after I changed my life around, you know, I realized there is a higher power. So, I mean, I don't fear any man. But as far as, like, amazed at some of the stuff that happens, absolutely. I mean, I'm like, wow, I've never seen this before. You know, and I did time in the max a long time. And Bilibid is a perfect example. Tonight, on one of the episodes on Discovery tonight, I saw things that I had never seen before. It just blew my mind, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe a prison's run like this. There was a guy. We discovered a hole in the ground with bones where the guy was killed years ago, and they thought he escaped, and he was dead and buried in the prison. I mean, this is wild. So, I mean, listen, you guys got to tune in. You got to see it yourself. It's unbelievable. It's Discovery Channel, 8 to 10 tonight, Eastern Time. It's unbelievable, off the hook. Things that blew my mind, and I was in prison. So I can only imagine the viewers who have never been exposed to a world like that, how they would feel.
Right, they got to realize when they're watching that this is not, this is not fiction. This is real life. This is what's actually going on in some part of the world.
You know, the morning commute in the snow and sleet that we all complain about and stuff, it doesn't look so bad after you watch these shows.
That's true. Yeah, that's exactly right. Again, it's Inside the Gangster's Code tonight from 8 to 10 on the Discovery Channel. Our guest today has been Lou Ferrante. Lou, thanks for sharing the time with us, and good work what you're doing these days. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. You and your listeners, and be safe out there.
Thanks very much.